Lodge, 910 AM, W245 CT Hayward, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Richard Cantu. President Biden and Vice President Harris head to Philadelphia today, courting black voters.
The Philadelphia rally comes just weeks after a New York Times, Siena College, and Philadelphia Inquirer poll found Biden trailing Trump in several key swing states, including Pennsylvania. The state, a target area for the president's campaign, and black voters are seen as key to his strategy in that state and others. After the expected launch of the Black Voters for Biden-Harris initiative at this rally, the president is expected to tour black-owned businesses in the Philadelphia area. Jay O'Brien, ABC News, Washington.
Closing arguments concluded in the hush money trial of Donald Trump early last evening. Today, the judge will instruct the jury before it starts deliberations. A three-judge federal appeals panel in Washington upheld the conviction of January 6th insurrectionist Thomas Webster and the 10-year prison sentence the retired New York cop got. This is ABC News.
I'm James Kelly with WBZH News, your news roundup in quick podcast form. Find it anytime on the WBZH website at buzzofthenorth.com.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Supporters of Donald Trump say they have enough signatures to force a recall election of Assembly Speaker Robin Voss. That's after their first attempt came up short. Petition circulators say they have more than 8,000 signatures from voters in the district where Voss was elected in 2022. Voss has 10 days to challenge the signatures. Federal transportation leaders say they're looking into adding more new passenger train service in Wisconsin. Transportation Secretary Pete Buttigieg says people in Wisconsin want to take the train.
There's no reason why Americans should settle for less in terms of our quality and reliability of passenger rail compared to any other country. That's what this is really about.
Buttigieg speaking with WYSN-TV's Up Front. And that's what you need to know. I'm Terry Bell, and this is Civic Media News.
Brewers and Cubs go extra innings. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Another crazy Brewers and Cubs game at American Family Field. Cubs pitcher Ben Brown pitched a no-hitter through seven innings. Manager Craig Counsell.
I mean, I thought it was the fastball. It was like an angry fastball. I mean, it was just really good, and it was overpowering for much of the game. So, you know, he threw a ton of strikes. Fastball was excellent.
Top of the 10th, Brewers closing pitcher Trevor McGill had to leave the game after getting hit in his throwing arm on a comeback hit going 99 miles an hour. Brewers manager Pat Murphy.
It's not fractured.
The extent of what you know at this point?
Yeah, I mean, he got drilled pretty hard. He's going to be good and sore for a while.
The Brewers ended up losing 6-3. Milwaukee's Freddy Peralta pitched well, but still has not earned a win this month.
It's hard because I don't, when I perform like well, you know, I want to win, but I want the team to win.
That's Brewers pitcher Freddy Peralta. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
And here's Heather with the weather.
Well, it's beautiful out there, sunny and 75, almost a little chilly in the shade. Now, let's get a read on the inside of your car. It is hot. You've only been parked a short time, and it's already 99 degrees in there. Let's not leave children in the back seat while running errands. It only takes a few minutes for their body temperatures to rise, and that could be fatal.
Cars get hot fast and can be deadly. Never leave a child in a car. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
John Peterson and Gordy Young.
Next time on the John and Gordy Family Show, we'll be live from Shortstack Eatery.
And we'll have as a guest Rachel Barnhart from Up Together talking about universal basic income.
The John and Gordy Show, weekday mornings 6 until 8.
This is your hometown radio, refreshed. Keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
Lots of sunshine today. We'll get to around 70 for a high this afternoon. Not much wind either out of the northeast at only around 5 miles per hour. Tonight, clear 41. Tomorrow, sunshine 74 by Friday. More scattered showers with a high near 70. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Current temp now 37.
Hi, I'm Smokey Bear, and I made an assistant to help you out, because only you can prevent wildfires.
Hey, Assistant Smokey Bear, call me Papa Bear, because I'm grilling up dinner. Do you get it?
Yes, good job.
So, what should I do with all these coals?
Don't just toss them out. Put them in a metal container, because those embers can start a wildfire.
I understand. The stakes are high.
Ha, 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 ha.
Learn more at SmokeyBear.com.
Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ad Council.
Pat Kreitlow.
Wednesday morning, Florida's governor removes mentions of a changing climate from state law. A TV meteorologist was having none of that.
Up North News with Pat Kreitlow. Weekday mornings starting at 6.
Well, the good news on a Wednesday morning, it looks like sunshine is returning to the state. Hallelujah. There's a whole lot of Wisconsin farmers will be happy to see that orb in the sky without rain clouds right behind it. That is the good news. Dry forecast on the way. Welcome in, everybody. I'm the fabulous Farm Babe Pam Yonke. This is the Midwest Farm Report. I'm so glad you're making it a part of your day. We try to connect the dots on what's happening with food production right here in the state of Wisconsin. Today, for example, it'll take us to Lancaster, Wisconsin, where we're going to hear the story of one farm family that recognized difficult weather conditions and tough margins forced them to diversify. What did they decide was their next option for productivity on the farm? Ice cream. Yep, we've got the story, thanks to Stephanie Hoff. Weather-wise, like I said, plan on getting outside today. It's going to stay dry. That's the good news. A little warmer in western Wisconsin, La Crosse area, probably going to hit around 71 degrees with sunshine. Madison, maybe a few more clouds topping out around 66. Cooler as usual along the lakeshore, but they've got sunshine, 62 degrees. Stumacher Ag Meteorologist has weather details on the way. Wisconsin farmers obviously struggled with the wet weather we've had over the past 7 days' time. How far are we as far as the crop planting of 2024? All those details yet to come. Grilling will never be dull as long as you partner with Bavaria Sausage. Fabulous Farm Babe Pam Yonke here for the crew at the corner of Nesbitt Road, Fitchroner Road in Fitchburg. I want to remind you again about their expanded store hours. Monday through Friday, 9 until 7. Saturday, 9 until 1. Boy, they are ready for you. And the creativity that Bavaria Sausage is bringing to your grill this summer, amazing. And why not think about their Landjagers for that hiking trip or when you're taking the kids to the zoo, something like that. Bavaria's created a brand new Kranjager. It brings Wisconsin's heritage fruit, the cranberry, together with that German traditional flavor of Landjager. Take a look online, BavariaSausage.com, Bavaria Sausage on Facebook. They're introducing new tastes, new flavors, new options all the time. And don't forget about it, their expanded store hours, Monday through Friday, 9 until 7, Saturday, 9 until 1, Bavaria Sausage in Fitchburg.
Just like colleges and high schools that are wrapping up with graduations, the Wisconsin Master Cheesemaker Program has another round of graduates. While we do have over 1,200 licensed cheesemakers in Wisconsin, for those that are seeking to reach that pinnacle of their craft, the Wisconsin Master Cheesemaker Certification is the ultimate achievement, as Wisconsin is the only place outside of Switzerland with this program. I'm Charity Seebecker from the southern end of the world's longest barn in Madison. And among this year's graduate class is Sarah Griesbach. She works at Nasonville Dairy and has now become the third ever woman to complete this prestigious Wisconsin Master Cheesemaker program. She tells me more about what this process is like. But first, she tells me how she got into cheesemaking in the first place.
After high school, I went to University of Wisconsin River Falls. Didn't really know what I was going to major in, just knew something I wanted to do, something more on the agricultural side. When I was in FFA, I did a food science and went to nationals for it. So I was kind of, you know, had a little bit of interest in that, but didn't really know. So getting to River Falls, still kind of didn't know what I wanted to do, but I got some work study. So I actually applied, you know, to wash dishes and stuff like that, and then I got called up and seeing if I want to work in the dairy plant, and it's like, oh, okay, it's better than washing dishes. and so it kind of started from there. All the other employees there were food science majors, and by the second semester in River Falls, I changed my major to food science, and kind of haven't looked back ever since. Because we made cheese multiple days a week, and by my senior year, I was able to be one of the student supervisors. One of those, usually a senior every year gets appointed that position. And then just like the industry, that's for sure. So I went on after graduating. I thought cheese was kind of my calling.
So can you walk us through then the process of becoming a Wisconsin Master Cheesemaker? Are there certain challenges maybe that you face along the way, or what does that process even look like?
So it is longer than what people think it is. So just to get your cheesemaker license, you have to have a certain number of hours interning underneath a cheesemaker. So I did that when I was in River Falls. Then you have to have your cheesemaker license for at least 10 years before you can apply to the program. And then you can do up to 2 cheeses every time you apply. So then you have to at least have produced that cheese within the last 5 years, or at least 5 years out of those 10 years. I have to get a couple of letter of recommendations to someone in the industry. And then you have to start taking courses. You have to have a few courses underneath your belt a little bit. And then you have the 3 years to get the other ones to even get accepted into the program. And then once you're into the program, there are 3 rounds of cheese grading that you have to do, as the program takes about 3 years to complete, a little less than 3 years. And then there is a final exam, which the final exam consisted of like 84 questions. And these are not just select A, B, or C. This is like essay questions, calculations. So it does take about 40 hours to complete. It's longer than what you think. And challenges, I guess, aren't a lot of challenges. It's kind of the mindset when you get the 84 question test that, wow, I have to do this, like, you know, and it does take a lot longer than what you think it will. There just weren't a ton of challenges, but it did kind of open up, like, thinking about what is actually going on in the process of any kind of cheese making, because all the questions are pretty in-depth. It really gets you thinking again of what's actually going on.
So what specific types of cheese then did you focus on for your certification process?
So the first two that I did this time were cheddar and Monterey Jack. It's the 2 cheeses that I've made the most ever since I was at River Falls, and they're pretty versatile cheeses.
So how do you feel that having this certification will impact your role at Nasonville Dairy and the cheeses that you guys produce there? How long have you been with Nasonville Dairy? Kind of give me an overview of just how much this will impact you there.
So I've been at Nasonville for 8 years now. And one of the 2 biggest cheeses that we make here are cheddar and Jack. How it'll impact Nasonville is just to have another person that specializes it. If we have customers with questions, or if we have some kind of bottleneck here, we have just another person that knows one of our biggest sellers.
Obviously, in Wisconsin, we like our cheese. It's what we do, America's Dairyland. But you, from your perspective, what do you think sets Wisconsin cheese apart from other places? Or how do you think this program really contributes to that reputation that we have?
What sets us apart is, I mean, everyone is so passionate about cheese. Like, I mean, just from making it to grading it to eating it, everything about it. Like, people think it's funny when you get excited about, oh, a different cheese or a different thing, that a different spice you can put it with it, or a different functionality it has, that is great for the Wisconsin cheese program and the dairy industry in general. I do think the certificate program is great for Wisconsin, because Wisconsin is the only one that has this master program, and which it does set us apart. I mean, we can strive to be a little higher than someone from, you know, a different state that isn't given this opportunity.
Looking ahead, do you have plans to become a master cheesemaker in other types of cheese, or what is your next goal?
Yes, actually, I applied for the next round. So this next round will take 3 years. We know about mid-year if we got accepted into the program again. So I do have 2 more cheeses. Then from there, who knows if I'll do more, depending on where I'm at. And, yeah, we'll kind of go from there.
What are those 2 cheeses? Do you mind sharing?
I was going to go for, we make a huge percentage of the world's feta at Nasonville here, and then, of course, your cheese curds.
So as a master cheesemaker now, what advice do you give to other aspiring cheesemakers especially maybe even other women who are considering entering the field?
So this is just a great program to enter into. Anyone that is just starting out, like when I first started out, 13 years ago, one of my first bosses was like, yeah, this is something you should really do. And so I actually started taking a couple of the required courses. I took about one or two every year. So then I didn't get to the last couple of years where I had to take like 10 courses. And you're able to network with other cheesemakers, because some of them were at the CDR down in Madison, some of them were at the UW in River Falls. So you can find challenges that people have in other companies and just better networks. But any kind of aspiring cheesemaker, this is just, it's just a great program, and you just really get, it's an honor to be in. And anyone, whether you're male or female, I think it's just a great program.
That was Sarah Griesbach, a recent Wisconsin Master Cheesemaker Program graduate. You can look for the Wisconsin Master Cheesemaker seal while you're out shopping to make sure that you're supporting a master who has truly devoted their career to perfecting the art of cheese. From the southern end of the world's longest barn in Madison, I'm Charity Seebecker.
From Birchwood to Poplar, this is the Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH, your home for news, talk, and sports.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. Back in October 2023, U.S. Supreme Court justices heard arguments to determine whether redistricting by the South Carolina legislature was prohibited racial gerrymandering or political gerrymandering allowed by the 2019 Rucho decision. The new opinion could have a dramatic effect on the 2030 redistricting cycle. Last October, justices heard arguments on whether a circuit court erred when rejecting South Carolina's congressional district maps. The legislature split Charleston by moving 30,000 residents from 11 of 12 of the highest concentrations of black voters into another district. In the words of the lower court, bleaching Congressional District 1. The legislature freely admits that it gerrymandered for partisan advantage, but disputes that it did so for racial discrimination reasons. During oral arguments and in his opinion, Justice Alito questioned why the South Carolina NAACP provided no alternate maps showing how adjustments could have been made without moving those communities. In the May 23, 6-3 opinion, conservative justices concurred with Alito's opinion that the NAACP did not prove that the shifts were done to dilute black voting power. In her dissent, Justice Kagan writes, "What a message to send to state legislators and mapmakers about racial gerrymandering. Those actors will often have an incentive to use race as a proxy to achieve partisan ends." We've linked to the decision at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org.
Earl Ingram.
Susan from Kenosha. Good morning to you, Susan. You say what?
I've been marching since I was 17. I'm 74. And women need to get out. You need to vote, because you don't want to go back to 1950, where you weren't allowed a credit card, where you weren't allowed to purchase a car or a home. These are things that are at stake.
The Earl Ingram Show, weekday mornings 8 to 10 on your local civic media radio station and on the app. Crude and Dom.
On a hump day that feels like a Tuesday edition of the Devil's Advocates radio show, Judge Juan Merchan will charge the jury, double charge the mound. You better tune in.
The Devil's Advocates, weekdays 4 till 6. The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
In just a little bit. Well, yesterday it was kind of a busy day for the House of Representatives. They continued to work on the Farm Bill. They took 12 hours out of their day to get through all the details that meant the final farm bill. Chair of that Agriculture Committee, Glenn Thompson from Pennsylvania, committee member from Kansas, Tracy Mann, was really pretty happy with the work that they got done and the fact that, much like the people they represent, they put in the hours.
Yeah, I was extremely pleased. And hey, to do a 12-hour markup, as we all know, our ag producers work 12, 14, 18-hour days all the time. So it was no big deal. A little unusual for Congress, but no big deal. Really pleased with the final product and very pleased, most importantly, that we did pass the bill out of the House Ag Committee. And it was bipartisan, which is important, but delighted with the product we have right now and look forward to seeing it move to the floor of the House.
Well, obviously, it's not a done deal yet. There's still a lot of work to be done, but like Tracy Mann, that representative, a Republican from Kansas, said they did do the time. And you know what else I find kind of interesting? People were paying attention to it out there. Tracy Mann tells us that the hallways were lined with spectators watching them get the work done.
That's exactly right. And, you know, there was a line out the door, down the hall, standing room only, which is a good thing. And I think this is something that everyone in the country is invested in, because everyone needs to eat. And these programs are so important. Our ag producers matter so much to the country, and really glad to see the turnout and the interest in the markup.
There you go. That's Republican Kansas Congressman Tracy Mann talking about the Farm Bill markup. We'll keep you kind of posted on that, because like you said, if you use a fork, you are invested in what comes out of that Farm Bill. Well, we're invested in what's coming our way weather-wise, especially if it includes a little dry weather, like more than a few hours. Let's find out about it. Time for our Compeer Financial Ag Weather Update. Stumach Ag Meteorologist along with us. What say ye? Can we string together more than just a few hours of sunshine and dry weather, Stu?
I'd say 2 days, and even looking at western Wisconsin, 2.5. The east may have almost 3 days without rain.
That is absolutely incredible. I was noticing temperatures this morning, not exactly what we might be comfortable with at the end of May, but I guess we can't get everything. We're not getting everything elements-wise coming our way, huh?
No, and I looked up, you know, Wausau North and up into northeast Wisconsin. Frost may not be quite out of the question late tonight, early tomorrow morning. So
that's not good.
You know, it's still that time of year, yeah. Unfortunately.
I've got crop progress report coming up later in the show, and, you know, there's a lot of corn and soybeans that have emerged. So hopefully it doesn't challenge it all the more compared to this weather.
Right. Well, the big story is high pressure is settling in. There's a little bit of rainfall on the far southeast corner of Wisconsin, northeast Illinois. That's all pulling east and southeast in a way. I do see a rainfall report here, Racine, of over 1 1/10 inches. I had about 6/10 in my gauge yesterday, not guaranteeing that didn't get emptied right, although the airport in Fond du Lac said 1/16 inches. 5/400 yesterday at La Crosse, 2/23 inches at Madison, only 1/12 inches at Eau Claire. Now, all of that is behind us. High pressure is definitely going to settle right across Wisconsin. So we're in for a couple of days of sunshine. Not until late Friday will there be a small chance of rain. I'll have those forecast details right after this.
What do you look for in a lending partner? Someone who supports smart decision-making for your farm or ranch, agribusiness, investment, or community. Someone who values relationships. Someone who, when you face adversity, looks you in the eyes and says, "We are here." Find the lending partner you're looking for at Compeer Financial. Visit Compeer.com to get started today. Compeer Financial is an equal credit opportunity lender and provider. Copyright 2023, all rights reserved.
Rural Mutual Insurance, keeping Wisconsin strong.
You may know Rural Mutual Insurance as the number one farm insurer, but did you know they also offer competitive home, auto, business, and life insurance? They make it convenient to bundle your insurance while saving you time and money. Visit ruralmutual.com to learn more.
Rural Mutual Insurance, keeping Wisconsin strong.
Yeah, I took a glance at some of our talk text reporters, and they all pretty much with you, Stu, a couple tenths of an inch of rain. Thank goodness that's kind of the end of that train, huh?
Yeah, we get a little break. It's about time things can start to dry out. Oh, I know you want to run right out and cut hay. Consider how wet that field is before you head out. And look at today, mostly sunny skies, a little fog in the west and south. Don't be surprised by that. It burns off here in a few hours. And I'd look for temps in the upper 60s. There could be a 70 right in the far western part of the state, with the northeast winds today at about 5 to 10. Clear overnight. Some of that fog, a possibility in the west again. The nighttime low in the mid and low 40s. Cooler the further north you head, especially toward northeast Wisconsin. And then by Thursday, sunny skies, upper 60s, low 70s more likely. Winds become southeast at 5, and mostly sunny Friday. mid-70s, a little cooler in the north, of course. South winds 5 to 10, a chance of a little sprinkly shower late Friday night, Pam. Maybe a tenth of an inch or two.
Not anymore. Very good. Thanks to Compeer Financial bringing your ag weather update. Compeer Financial, your financial partner committed to agriculture and rural America. Visit Compeer.com to find out more.
This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Yonke.
Your hometown station for news, talk, and sports. This is the Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
At Civic Media, we encourage active political engagement and remind listeners to think critically about political advertisements you may hear during this critical election year. Our stations are licensed by the FCC and are required to accept all ads for federal candidates. We also air state and local candidates, as well as paid ads from issue and PAC groups. Truth is rarely as simple as any political ad may claim. So again, we urge you to think critically about what you hear in the spirit of promoting authentic and respectful civic dialogue.
Your forecast for you and your community. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. We love Wisconsin weather and tracking it to keep you updated whenever it changes. Listen for our weather-ready stories so you're always prepared on your local Civic Media radio station and streaming on the Civic Media app.
Retirement can be scary, but only if you're not prepared. That's why AARP created thisispretirement.org. Because unless you've already retired, you're in pretirement and you still have time to plan. Learn about retirement savings options, potential tax breaks, and how you can build savings over time. Visit thisispretirement.org for free resources to help you customize your action plan and feel the retirement fear disappear. Brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
One of the most prolific columnists in the Midwest. Mr. James Causey, one of your columns, you mentioned that you got into the news because of the news quiz.
Yes. I would like to be the first person picked. And so.
Yes. Getting picked first for the news quiz teams.
We need to bring that back, actually. I need to talk to my paper about bringing that back.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow. Wisconsin's home for daily conversations about the state's latest headlines and stories. Weekday mornings from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
We've all felt left out. And for people who move to this country, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
You are listening to your local Civic Media radio station on air. Thank you. Did you know we are always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app too? And if you miss a show or game, find it wherever you get your podcasts or on our website, civicmedia.us.
ABC News, I'm Richard Cantu. President Biden and Vice President Harris head to Philadelphia today, courting black voters.
The Philadelphia rally comes just weeks after a New York Times, Siena College, and Philadelphia Inquirer poll found Biden trailing Trump in several key swing states, including Pennsylvania, the state a target area for the president's campaign, and black voters are seen as key to his strategy in that state and others. After the expected launch of the Black Voters for Biden-Harris initiative at this rally, the president is expected to tour black-owned businesses in the Philadelphia area. Jay O'Brien, ABC News, Washington.
Closing arguments concluded in the hush money trial of Donald Trump early last evening. Today, the judge will instruct the jury before it starts deliberations. A three-judge federal appeals panel in Washington upheld the conviction of January 6th insurrectionist Thomas Webster and the 10-year prison sentence the retired New York cop got. This is ABC News.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Supporters of Donald Trump say they have enough signatures to force a recall election of Assembly Speaker Robin Voss. That's after their first attempt came up short. Petition circulators say they have more than 8,000 signatures from voters in the district where Voss was elected in 2022. Voss has 10 days to challenge the signatures. Federal transportation leaders say they're looking into adding more new passenger train service in Wisconsin. Transportation Secretary Pete Buttigieg says people in Wisconsin want to take the train.
There's no reason why Americans should settle for less in terms of our quality and reliability of passenger rail compared to any other country. That's what this is really about.
Buttigieg speaking with WYSN-TV's Up Front. And that's what you need to know. I'm Terry Bell, and this is Civic Media News.
Brewers and Cubs go extra innings. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Another crazy Brewers and Cubs game at American Family Field. Cubs pitcher Ben Brown pitched a no-hitter through seven innings. Manager Craig Counsell.
I mean, I thought it was the fastball. It was like an angry fastball. I mean, it was just really good, and it was overpowering for much of the game. So, you know, he threw a ton of strikes. Fastball was excellent.
Top of the 10th, Brewers closing pitcher Trevor Megill had to leave the game after getting hit in his throwing arm on a comeback hit going 99 miles an hour. Brewers manager Pat Murphy.
It's not fraction.
The extent of what you know at this point?
Yeah, I mean, he got drilled pretty hard. He's going to be good and sore for a while.
The Brewers ended up losing 6-3. Milwaukee's Freddie Peralta pitched well, but still has not earned a win this month.
It's hard because I don't, when I perform like well, you know, I want to win, but I want the team to win.
That's Brewers pitcher Freddie Peralta. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Earl Ingram.
On the next show, we'll get organized with Dr. Robert Craig, Executive Director of Citizen Action.
The Earl Ingram Show, weekday mornings 8 till 10. You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
Lots of sunshine today. We'll get to around 70 for a high this afternoon. Not much wind either out of the northeast at only around 5 miles per hour. Tonight, clear 41. Tomorrow, sunshine 74 by Friday. More scattered showers with a high near 70. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Outside now, it's 35.
Hey there, it's Carrie Joy with your Work Money Minute, and today I have some good news about a few retailers who are lowering prices this year. Sounds like some folks have finally gotten the message that we are more likely to shop at their store when we can afford to buy the things that they are selling. First on my list, Target and Walmart. Both are rolling back prices, and Target just announced cutting prices on 1,500 things, everything from milk to paper towels. Next up is Aldi supermarkets in Milwaukee, Madison, and Fond du Lac. And according to the AARP, Aldi is passing on $100 million in savings to customers like us, but only through Labor Day. And last but not least, Michaels. You know, the arts and crafts retailer where I buy all of my googly eyes. They're in Eau Claire, Madison, and Milwaukee, and they're lowering prices on 5,000 things. Okay, folks, that was your Work Money Minute. For more savings tips, head on over to workmoney.org. And hey, if you're going to go shopping, use a list, check your budget, and until next time, take good care.
1, 2, 3.
What you doing?
4, 5, 6. Counting the first place awards from the Wisconsin Broadcasters Association.
WISS in Oshkosh for the best promo. WAUK in Waukesha, best Maggie Dawn Show web story. WMDX in Madison, best web story about the Max Inc. radio show. And WFHR in Wisconsin Rapids for best show, interview, and promo.
Informed, entertained, connected.
And winning.
Your local Civic Media radio station. Learn more at civicmedia.us.
Earl Ingram.
Susan from Kenosha. Good morning to you, Susan. You say what?
I've been marching since I was 17. I'm 74. And women need to get out. You need to vote because you don't want to go back to 1950 where you weren't allowed a credit card, where you weren't allowed to purchase a car or a home. These are things that are at stake.
The Earl Ingram Show, weekday mornings 8 to 10 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
I love my kids so much. I once sat for 3 hours in the cold rain to watch her soccer team lose by 18 goals.
I love my kids so much. I once used a tube to suck snot out of her stuffed nose at 3 a.m.
You win.
Love your kids? Love them enough to make sure they're in the right car seat. From toddlers to tweens, visit nhtsa.gov/the right seat to find the right seat for their age and size. Keep them safe. Visit nhtsa.gov/the right seat. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
We've all felt left out. And for people who move to this country, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
It's easy to listen to your favorite local radio station anytime. Download the Civic Media app from the Apple or Google Play Store, then listen live or whenever you want from anywhere for free. You are never far away from your favorite radio station. We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. And if you missed your favorite show or game, listen to a podcast of it anytime on the app or our website, civicmedia.us.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
You're listening to the Buzz of the North, WBZH, Hayward's home for Up North News Radio.
I'm Yankee.
They serve over 50,000 cones and dishes of their farm-produced ice cream. That, plus 20,000 pints through the summer months. Vesperman Farms in Lancaster, Wisconsin is a busy bunch of folks. They are also going to be featured panelists during the Connecting Entrepreneurial Communities Conference tomorrow and Friday on the UW-Platteville campus. Welcome back, everybody. I'm Farm Director Pam Yonke, and if you want to hear what a farm has to think about when it comes to producing product for consumer sales, well, stick around. Stephanie Hoff has got Kyle Vesperman sharing that story with us before we wrap her up on a Wednesday. So glad you're with us. I'm so glad I can report sunshine is on the way for the state of Wisconsin. I miss it. Today, we'll see 70s around the La Crosse area, 68 in the Madison area, and probably a few more clouds along the lakeshore. Should be beautiful, a little breezy, probably in the low 60s. I'm PM Yonke. Thank you so much for joining us. So today is the 29th day of May. What can I tell you? Let's see. On this day in 1848, Wisconsin enters the Union. We became the 30th state to enter the Union. That meant we were 156th of the United States at the time. The nickname Badger State was given to us, and as most of you probably know, it's not about the fierce little animal, but instead miners that spent their winters in the state living in dugouts and burrowing like a badger. Started on this day back in 1848. On this day in 1996, Benjamin Netanyahu became Israel's prime minister, still there. On this day in 1942, Bing Crosby records White Christmas, still around and popular today. Some happy birthdays. Actress Annette Bening, 66 years young today. Danny Elfman, he's a composer. You may not recognize the name, but he has brought you music for Desperate Housewives and The Simpsons. He is 71 years young today. And Melanie Brown, another name you may not recognize. She used to go by Sporty Spice. Well, she is 49 today. And now you know. It's a Wednesday. That means it's time for us to catch up with our friends from the Steffes Group. Come on. You know how to spell it. STEFFESgroup.com. That's the folks that you want to turn to if you're looking to buy or sell farm equipment, construction, land, whatever it may be. They have an opportunity for you right there. And again, I want you to always remember, if in the back of your mind you're thinking about an auction, that is a life-altering decision for a lot of us. Why don't you talk it through with the folks at the Steffes Group? 800-726-8609. That's 800-726-8609. They are getting a stronger and stronger reputation here in Wisconsin for the way that they take care of business. Ashley Hewn's along with us. He's one of the fellas taking care of business. And, you know, just about the time that we think, again, as we've alluded to, things slow down a little bit during spring planting. Boom, bang, all of a sudden June Dairy Month has a whole new look for you folks at Steffes, huh?
You know, it really does. And, you know, we always talk about buying opportunities. But let me tell you, just in June alone, we're going to be conducting 75 auctions. And just to touch on some of the dealership side, which is going to be absolutely huge, it's going to start right away June 3rd. Midwest Machinery, they have dealerships in Minnesota and all over Wisconsin. They bought out Frontier Ag and Turf a couple years ago. They're conducting an auction right on June 3rd. It goes all the way through the 4th in Larchwood. Then we're in Grand Island, Nebraska on the 6th. Fargo the 10th, South Dakota on the 18th, and back to Litchfield on the 19th. Those six auctions alone, I'm looking at somewhere around $60 million in John Deere equipment.
Wow. Wow. And we're not just talking. We're talking late model stuff. I mean, this is what everybody's looking for.
Yeah, absolutely. It's late model stuff. And if there's any holes in the market right now, if there's any, you know, you could say, I wouldn't say that it's a steal, or but come down a little bit, and so there's going to be some buying opportunities. It is on that late model equipment.
Yeah, I know. Well, that's what a lot of folks have been talking about. You want to keep things rolling. You want to make sure that you're doing a job efficiently, but you do kind of want to avoid the dealerships at the prices that you're seeing there. And this is a great opportunity. And they can always see all of the equipment online, Ashley. If they've got something specific, you guys literally lay out the carpet of details.
Yeah, you know, and then you can also use a search function, type in a model number, or you can search by categories, whether it's combines or four-wheel drives, track tractors, whatever you're looking for.
The other thing about the StephisGroup.com website is, let's say you don't buy equipment on a regular basis. You might say, well, geez, I wonder what stuff's going for. Your website is transparent that way too, Ashley, if you want to see what other pieces of the same model have sold for previously.
Yeah, absolutely. There's a couple ways to do that. You can look at the archived auctions. You can do a search through there and look at the individual auctions or pieces that way. But honestly, the easiest way to do that is to download our free app. Just type in a model number or whatever you want to do, and you'll get 3 years of price history right off the bat.
Yeah, that definitely keeps you informed on what's going on as far as pricing trends. And when's the next catalog coming out? It feels to me like that should be just around the corner.
Yep, we're right here. So the second week, should be hitting mailboxes, second week of June.
Wow, excellent. Ashley Hune along with us from the Steffes Group. Again, like you said, that app is an element that not many auction houses offer you. You can find out about all the pricing information that you'd like on any piece of equipment you're interested in. You can follow along as the action unfolds. And, of course, you can always talk to the folks at Steffes. If you need more information, they'll connect you with the buyer. Once again, StephesGroup.com, S-T-E-F-F-E-S Group.com, or call them 800-726-8609. That's Ashley Hune with the Steffes Group. As you can imagine, Wisconsin farmers more than a little frustrated with Wisconsin's weather and the lack of planting progress. As of Sunday, the Wisconsin Ag Statistical Service tells us 78% of our corn crop was in the ground 2 days behind last year all of a sudden. Of the corn that was planted, 48% through the soil surface. 74% of our soybeans were planted as of Sunday. Again, equal to last year, but 4 days ahead of our five-year average. The wheat, 23% of that is headed out. But as Dr. Sean Conley, University Extension soybean and wheat specialist, told me yesterday, now we're starting to see rust on that wheat.
Dr. Damon Smith was out in our winter wheat vernage trial last week and noticed we started getting a little bit of stripe rust coming to the state of Wisconsin. That's usually a pretty good indicator that, and that's a pretty devastating disease. So farmers really need to be thinking about getting out this week. I know we've had a lot of this rainfall, being able to get across some of these fields will be difficult. But getting a foliar fungicide out there over the next 7 to 10 days based on where you are in the state of Wisconsin, specifically targeting that Feeks 10.51, or if you look at that weed head, Pam, and right in the middle of that weed head, you'll start seeing those yellow anthers pop out the side. That tells you that that's the go time for spraying foliar fungicides targeted for or Fusarium head scab. And then you basically got 5 to 7 days after you start seeing that anther to spray. So depending on where you are in the state, it's going to be go time or pre-go time here shortly.
Very good advice from Dr. Sean Conley, our University Extension soybean and wheat specialist. So this morning in Chicago, Dow Jones Industrial Average right now is down 179 points. December corn down a penny at 484. November beans down a nickel at 1206. July wheat right now down 8 at 692. Yesterday, barrel cheese was unchanged in Chicago. The 40-pound block cheese dropped 0.75 cents to 186 and a quarter. Big drop on butter, down 12 cents. Still $3.25 per pound for butter. June, class 3 milk that goes into cheese is unchanged at 1947. July, milk this morning, up 7, 1969, 100 weight. on the way. Those commodity prices I just rattled off to you don't spell profitability for a lot of Wisconsin farms. So what are you going to do to try to keep your Century or Sesquicentennial farm in the family operating? Or what if you're a new farm? How are you going to find profitability? One story from Lancaster, Wisconsin, coming your way next to inspire you on a Wednesday.
Sign up for daily agriculture updates by joining our email list. Head to MidwestFarmReport.com, enter your email address, and we'll handle the rest. More farm news straight ahead. This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Youngke.
Hayward's choice for news, talk, and sports. The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
It's fair time across Wisconsin, and with more than 70 county fairs, three district fairs, and the state fair, there's something for everyone to enjoy, including classic carnival games like Skee Ball, made in Wisconsin. You just roll that ball up a ramp and use enough strength to hop the ball into one of the bullseye rings, then add up your points. So what is the actual object of Skee Ball? To show off your bowling-like skills to your friends, to work on your attention span, or to win a prize like a stuffed animal? The answer coming up. Skee Ball is close to 110 years old. It's made in Pulaski, Wisconsin by Baytech Games. The company itself originally started in a basement. Now, do you know the object of the Skee Ball game? It really is to add up your points and win a prize like a stuffed animal. One fun slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
It's time for Civic Media's Scotty Summer Text to Win contest right here on this local Civic Media radio station. We're hooking you up with Wisconsin Dells prize packs, Milwaukee Brewers club level tickets, plus the chance to win a summer getaway to Door County, Lake Geneva, or a lake house vacation. Download the free Civic Media app in the Google Play or App Store and get ready to text in for your first chance to win in this statewide contest starting Monday, June 3rd at 7 a.m. It's Civic Media's Scotty Summer. The Maggie Dawn Show.
One of the most prolific columnists in the Midwest. Mr. James Causey, one of your columns, you mentioned that you got into the news because of the news quiz.
Yes. I would like to be the first person picked. And so.
Yes. Getting picked first for the news quiz teams.
We need to bring that back, actually. I need to talk to my paper about bringing that back.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Maggie Dawn.
Next up, I'll be joined by Navy veteran Tom Paulsiewicz. We'll discuss what President Joe Biden has gotten done for veterans.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekday afternoons from 2 till 4. This is the Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
Commodity prices were not going to be enough to sustain their farm that's been in the family for more than 100 years. Vesperman Farms will be one of the featured panelists during a special Connecting Entrepreneurial Communities conference at UW-Platteville tomorrow and Friday. Our own Stephanie Hoff takes us into Vesperman Farms to find out more about the challenging questions they had to ask themselves and the decisions they had to make on how to keep that Century farm moving forward.
Kyle Vesperman joins us. He's the fifth generation on his family's Century Farm in Lancaster, Vesperman Farms. I would argue he comes from a long line of agripreneurs because each generation on the farm has added something different. More than 100 years ago, the farm started with row crops and pigs primarily. It had shifted to specialty crops for farmers markets. And then with Kyle, it has become a fall agritourism destination since the early 2000s. But he says when the crowds grew, so did his business model.
Right around that time, 2013, 2014, 2015, our crowds were getting quite big, and I was looking to make something to help make the experience and just offerings at the farm better. So we constructed retail event barn facility that we built on the farm, and that gave us indoor bathrooms, lots of indoor seating, indoor retail space, a loading dock to bring in food, because at that point, food had become quite a big part of our fall time here at the farm. And then we also then built a very large kitchen to let us grow into and do other things. And at the point when I built that kitchen, I was interested in doing something sort of a more year-round type project or year-round type product. And so we looked into, you know, making jams and jellies and pickled asparagus and different things like that, and had a local neighbor that had turned me on to the idea of making ice cream. You know, there's a course, like a three-day sort of winter crash course for people that would be interested in making ice cream. And so it took me 2 years to get into that class, and I did that. So then in our kitchen on the farm there, we started manufacturing or making ice cream in summer of 2019 that we started making ice cream. There towards the end of the fall season, I had this idea of taking the ice cream around and selling it in a truck, basically. So I ended up finding an old work truck actually, I think in its previous life was a fiber optic cable splicing truck. So it was basically a truck with a little workshop in the back of it, and we were able to take that and gut it out and get it all wrapped and put in a window and put in two freezers, one for scooping ice cream cones and dishes out of, and one for holding pints. And then that was then in the spring of 2020, and of course we all know what happened then, and it was a little bit of a struggle to get things licensed and up and going and are exactly sure what to do with it. But there around June 1st of 2020, we were able to get the truck out on the road, and it was met with just wonderful reception from everywhere that we went. We used a lot of our social media following to set up in communities and sell for 2 or 3 hours at a time. And, you know, it's been just super positive. And after that first year, the, you know, ice cream had taken off so much that, I mean, we were getting calls from, you know, we go to company picnics and factories and lots of little fairs and festivals and, you know, art fairs and music in the parks and all those sorts of things. And that we ended up getting a second truck. So we have two trucks that are licensed and kind of crisscross southwest Wisconsin and go down into Illinois and Dubuque and Dubuque, Iowa. And then now after several years of having two trucks, the new thing we're doing this year, we just announced it this weekend that we're going to be opening an ice cream shop here on the farm for this summer. We're going to run from weekends from mid-June to about Labor Day, and we're going to try out an on-farm ice cream shop and see how that goes. And so,
well, congratulations, Kyle. That's excellent news. And I'm sure it's one of the latest triumphs that you'll share as a panelist during the Connecting Entrepreneurial Communities Conference in Platteville at the end of the week. Kyle, what drives you to keep wanting to try new things, whether it's new crops, agritourism, or the traveling ice cream trucks? What's the reason for it?
To be very honest with you, it's just, I'm just a kid trying to keep this farm that's been in my family for so many generations, just keep it viable and keep it going. If people remember back 2018, 2019, those were very, very wet falls. So we had some pretty down years right after building our big building. And I was sort of looking for ideas that could be a good shoulder season or diversifying into different things, and also finding things that fit really well with what we do out here at the farm. Our main audience is families with young kids, and so things that would enhance people's experience here at the farm.
And again, Kyle, you will be a panelist at the end of the week for the Connecting Entrepreneurial Communities Conference. This is in Platteville, May 30th and 31st. It will feature a track solely about agricultural entrepreneurship. The topics that you'll be discussing are triumphs and challenges as an agripreneur. What is a hurdle that you faced that you'll be talking to others about this week?
I think one of the big challenges early on is that we're in a very rural area and not a huge population base. When you're trying to attract people out to, you know, visit your farm, it's kind of finding things that people would be interested to get in their car and come spend an afternoon with us. Just trying to get people to first come to your farm was, I think, the first challenge. And it didn't happen overnight. It took 10, 12 years, I think, before Dubuque really discovered us. The big primary hurdle is just being patient and waiting for the ideas to develop and give them time to develop was one of the biggest hurdles, I think, to try and overcome.
Kyle Vesperman along with us from Vesperman Farms in Lancaster, a Century Farm that focuses on fall agritourism and ice cream. He'll be presenting at the Connecting Entrepreneurial Communities Conference in Platteville, May 30th and 31st. For the Midwest Farm Report, I'm Stephanie Hoff.
This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Youngke. We'll be right back.
You're listening to WBZH, Hayward's home for the Todd Allball Show.
Covering all the news that affects you with humor and a unique perspective. Matinair on Air with Jane Matinair. Weekdays 10 till noon on the Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH, and on the Civic Media app.
Missed your favorite show live on air? It's easy to find what you enjoy wherever you listen to podcasts, including Spotify, Apple, and Google Podcasts. And we're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app.
Today, the first in a series on pests, pathogens, and pollinators, and how they're impacted by climate change on Farm to Fork. If you're ready to try a highly effective microbial soil inoculant, then Rizol from ProGrow Bio should be your first choice. Rizol offers multiple benefits, like enhanced biomass, bigger yields, and improved soil health. 100% organic and works with conventional or organic crops, and comes in a soluble dry form for easy handling and long shelf life. Search the web for R-H-I-Z-O-L from ProGrow Bio.
Hey there, it's Mike Rowe, and if you're out there getting dirty, do me a favor and remember to call or click 811 before you dig. And when I say dig, I refer to any activity requiring boring, tilling, drilling, probing, reaming, plowing, drudging, or even scoping. Anything that causes you to roll up your sleeves a little and dig in requires you to first connect with 811 so that you can avoid all those buried pipes, wires, and cables underground. To sum up, call or click 811 before you dig and visit safeexcavator.com for more information.
The changing climate affects growing crops, but it's also changing how crop pathogens operate. Jan Leach is a plant biologist at Colorado State University.
We typically study things one disease at a time or one stress at a time. Like heat stress, we look for heat tolerance, or disease pathogen attack, we look for disease resistance. But the problem is that when these two stresses occur at the same time, we can't predict the outcome because we don't know. We've always studied things individually, and oftentimes the outcome is different.
And because of that, says Leach, traditional fixes are not a solution as well.
Our mainstay for helping plants thrive under threats of disease or under conditions of disease is to improve their genetics through breeding or genome editing. But since we don't understand much about how the disease and the environmental stresses interact, we don't have a clear idea of what genes or traits to pursue.
Climate change impacts temperatures, availability of water, and how plants access and absorb nutrients. It also creates new issues with crop pests. And we'll talk about that tomorrow. That's Farm to Fork. I'm Daryl Anderson.
John Mino and Jim Schmidt.
On the next show, Ben and Deanna Malcor join us with their Moving with the Malcor segment. They'll give us some advice on buying or selling your home.
Then reporter Ben Krumholtz from Fox 11 stops by to talk about some of the stories he's been working on.
An unsuspecting driver at a gas station in Wisconsin.
Welcome, Pump 15. How you doing?
Great.
Were you wearing your seatbelt today?
I never wear my seatbelt.
We're going to get him. We're going to get him real good.
Oh, my goodness.
Hello, sir. How you doing? Dollar driver. It takes 1 second to strap a seatbelt on.
Well, let's do this. Let's do it together. Now, don't that feel better?
Donald Driver can't always be there to remind you.
Click it or tick it.
And let's reduce fatalities on Wisconsin roadways.
And I should have recognized your voice when you were harassing
I'm watching you.
Sponsored by Wisconsin DOT.
Max Inc. on Civic Media with Mike and Wendy from Sunspot. Can you imagine the mosh pit on the bridge that could happen?
Oh, well, that's how the original series was. When they moved the camera, whenever they'd be like the red alert. That was the mosh pit.
And everybody had to like fake like.
Right. Lean left. Straight. Lean right.
Yeah.
Join us for all the fun with Max Inc. on Saturday nights, 6 to midnight, across the Civic Media Radio Network and on the Civic Media app.
Fear you may be missing out? We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. Enjoy listening live or catch up by finding the podcast at civicmedia.us or wherever you enjoy listening to your podcasts.
This is the Buzz of the North, WBZH 910 AM, W245 CT Hayward, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. Jury deliberations are set to kick off this morning in Donald Trump's criminal trial. ABC's Lindsay Tuckman is outside the courthouse in Lower Manhattan with more.
The jurors were dismissed around 8 p.m. last night after hearing a marathon day of closing arguments that were presented before them. Judge Juan Merchan said multiple times he would have been willing to cut it off if it looked like he was losing the jury, but they stayed alert for the most part.
500,000 power customers in Texas are still without lights or air conditioning. Storms battering the region for days. Crews are on the scene. President Biden and Vice President Harris will hold a rally in Pennsylvania today, launching a new initiative aimed at attracting black voters. Beginning today, Major League Baseball will include Negro League players in its official MLB stats. More Israeli shelling and airstrikes in the southern Gaza city of Rafah overnight. It's happening in the same area where strikes triggered deadly fire days earlier at a camp for displaced Palestinians. This is ABC News. As police in Los Angeles look for suspects in the murder of actor Johnny Wachter, his killing is shining a new light on catalytic converter thefts. Crooks were stealing one from Wachter's car when he was shot and killed.
In 2022, more than 64,000